All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. My name is Andrew, and with me, as always, is Cameron.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone.
His tagline. And in case I don't see you, good evening, or whatever he says. Anyways, and Corlin is here.
Hello, hello.
And Corlin looks way different. I don't know if you know Corlin personally, but he usually has a nice... How long did you grow that beard for?
Oh, well, I didn't grow it steady. I did trim it for when I got married in January, but I had had a beard for over a year.
And now it's just a...
Just a
dirty mustache.
Just a dirty old rig worker mustache. Fort St. John, keeping it classy.
Keeping it classy. That's true. Yep, you fit right in. I just insulted the whole town. There you go. My bad. But thanks for tuning in.
The other half looks like me with nothing.
Yeah, they're half. And this podcast, if you are listening for the first time, we talk about theology and the Bible and how that plays into our everyday lives. So, and would encourage you to go back and listen to the last couple weeks. But today, before we get started, we were having a little conversation before we pressed record about music. It was funny because Corlin didn't know who the Goo Goo Dolls were, and me and Cam both felt really old. Like, what? You don't know that band?
I'm just a baby.
And how grocery store music is so great now because it's all the songs from like the 90s and early 2000s. But the question I want to throw out to you guys is what... besides like Christian, oh, I bought Newsboys. Besides stuff like that, what was like the first? Cortland's like, what's wrong with Newsboys? what was the first like album or CD that like your parents were like, that either you hid from your parents or you were like, your parents were, I don't know about this. Cortland's got nothing.
I have no idea what you are talking about.
Yeah, because his mom listens, yeah, maybe.
Sorry, Mom. You are a married man out of the house now,
right? Yeah, right. So, I remember the first Christian album that my parents were super sketchy about was POD.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember they were kind of like, this is a little heavy. Like,
I can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, and it was funny. Yeah. I don't know if my mom will listen, but if she remembers, she actually took the CD and she listened to the whole CD first. And then she came back and she said, to her credit, like, there's nothing wrong with the lyrics. But for her, it was just kind of like, we are the youth of the nation. And all this like, oh, it's so heavy.
Yeah, I remember POD. And I don't think I ever shared it with my parents, though. I moved out when I was quite young, I think 17. But I grew up in a house where everything was a little edgy. Like Simpsons, absolutely no way.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Couldn't say S words like. Stupid was the
best. Oh, I was going to like, don't no, say, oh. No.
And that word was fine because we grew up like near farms, right? Like that was, but like it was really, everything was, I couldn't show mom and dad. So I remember being a kid getting my first R&B rap kind of hip hop album from a person at school. And I had my yellow non-anti-shock disc.
Yes. 45 and, second, any oh, skip.
And I, you know, sitting in the bathroom, like just jamming because, you know, I didn't want my parents to walk into my room and be like, what are you listening to? So I remember having different albums, and Higher Power was actually the first Christian band that I remember my parents playing around the house. And that would have been like 80s, 70 or 80s. And if it wasn't something like that, Marantha Gospel Singers, then it was edgy.
Yeah, for me, I same as Cameron, grew up in a house where it was pretty conservative on what we got to listen to. You know, VeggieTales sing-alongs, which Andrew might say is worse than what I listen to now.
Yeah, that's blasphemy.
Yeah. but I think the first album wasn't actually the ones that I mentioned earlier, being Toby Mac, Hawk Nelson, or 1,000 Foot Crutch. I think the first album that I ever actually purchased that my mom was pretty skeptical about, and especially my dad growing up with Mennonite background, was August Burns Red. I bought their album Constellations. So they're like legitimate. Well,
are they like screamo?
Yeah. They're like
screamo. That's what I've heard of them, yeah.
And I remember as a kid, like some of my friends were getting into that kind of music, and I was like, Mom, this is really cool. Listen to this. And like the look I got from her was like,
why are they yelling?
Right. Yeah. why are they so angry?
Yeah, only demons yell. Oh man, but yeah, I've heard it all.
I think that's the first album that I got that was
oh man,
a little too edgy.
I forgot about TFK.
Yeah, I saw them in concert. Yeah. And I guess then, so I haven't shared mine.
Right.
Well, besides POD. But then...
my name is Andrew.
But then, yeah, and I used to listen to secular music. But then LimeWire came out.
Right.
And Kazaa, right? And you would download all these songs. So I remember, and my parents probably still don't know about this, I downloaded the Dr. Dre Chronic 2001 album. Just awful. And I'm a sinner, and I'm admitting that it's awful. But I remember having my 45-second anti-shock Discman and listening to that and just thinking, man, I'm so cool. What's the difference between me and you and all these songs? I'm like, oh, man. It was
the bass
just,
dial on the side turned all the way up.
It was just awful, terrible album. But that was one that I downloaded in my – and then I burned it and then immediately deleted it because I was like, my dad is going to lose his mind if he hears these songs.
Yeah.
But
see,
now,
I'm just a tiny bit older than you, and that was like an 18-month, two-year period of no LimeWire or nothing. Like, you got a tape cassette.
Yep.
And, yeah.
I remember my sisters doing that. The song, like, oh, remember that song? It would come on the radio, and they'd sit and wait for it to come on the radio. Oh, it's starting! And then
double-click,
record, and play the set. Oh, man. We should start another podcast where we just talk about nostalgic stuff. Anyways, yeah. We need to get to the point here.
And everyone over 50 is thinking, we're talking about technology.
Yeah, right? LimeWire? What's that? Is that like the...
I got that reference.
Yeah, see? Yeah, way to go, man. Anyways, so we're not here to talk about CDs, but I thought that was interesting. This is our confession time. Maybe we'll talk about movies next, movies that we snuck into or things like that. Anyways, we want to talk about the Sabbath today, not Black Sabbath, right?
You're going off the rails right now.
Crazy train! Not Black Sabbath, but the Sabbath. And what is... a Christian, you know, Jesus follower, what's a good view of the Sabbath? So maybe we'll start. I don't want to assume everyone listening goes like, oh yeah, the Sabbath, for sure. I know what that is. So maybe even just start, you know, pre-Jesus and even when Jesus came. Was there
such a thing?
Oh my goodness. Pre-incarnation. good point. This is a theology podcast. Yeah, pre-incarnation. And then even during Jesus' time as he walked the earth, what was, I don't know, the Jewish understanding of the Sabbath? And then we'll get into maybe like, what did Jesus have to say about the Sabbath? How did he maybe correct some false thinking around it? But I'll just throw it out there. So what is the Sabbath?
The simple Bible Sunday school answer is the day of rest at the end of the creation story in Genesis that we're given. The model of work and rest that is presented through the creation story, where we see the maker of the universe stop and look at what he had done, look at the last period of time, whether it's days or millennia, we're not going to go there today, but and say, it's good, and I'm going to rest. That is where that originated. And there's all sorts of things you can talk about. God didn't need rest. He was given a model to man. God wasn't exhausted. He was giving us a formula that was healthy for man to follow.
Yeah. I think you wrapped that up really well. I think if I try and add anything.
See you next week, folks.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. And but in the Ten Commandments, I guess, we get a real clear... Because you're right. In Genesis, end of Genesis 2... Or actually, end of Genesis 1, rather. The end of Genesis 1, that's the sixth day, and then the start of Genesis 2, it says, the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So you're right, Cam, it's not like God was like, whew, I need to kick up my feet, and I'm exhausted. But then in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath is in there. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So, just for a reference point there, that's where it's found in Exodus 20. And then there's lots of other references throughout the law to the Sabbath. And
wasn't it punishable by death if you didn't?
Yes, it was.
Later on in Exodus, yeah.
Generally. Yeah, it is. There was a man who was gathering, I don't remember where that is in Exodus.
31.
Exodus 31. He was gathering Styx on the Sabbath, and he was stoned to death. So it was kind of like, hey, you're not resting. So it was, I know that was, sorry, that's maybe it, but it was seriously, yeah, punishable by death.
Which is work, you know?
Which, yeah, it's interesting. So, so the Sabbath, you know, basically the Jewish understanding, and then, and we'll get to when Jesus comes, but it was basically Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. It was a 24-hour period. And so just as a little tidbit, that's why the Seventh-day Adventists, they meet on Saturdays. That's their Sabbath, because they keep it extremely literally. Nope, the Sabbath is Saturday. And I've even had conversations with Seventh-day Adventists that all you churches that meet on Sundays, you're sinning, because it's not action. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. So that's kind of the time frame. At Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown, it was this 24-hour rest time, I guess. I don't know. Like, so when Jesus came, though, let's talk about maybe some of the misunderstandings of Sabbath. Because I mean, there are certain laws, right? The guy, okay, don't go collect firewood on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work, right? You're not supposed to exert yourself. But I don't, you were going to say something.
It's just interesting. Yeah, what I was going to say is there's several examples of Jesus doing things on the Sabbath that fell out of Jewish custom that he pushed back on, healing, I think, being the biggest.
Yeah.
But the idea of preparing for the Sabbath in Scripture, I've seen that lived out today, where it's almost like you have someone saying, I'm going to rest on that day, but for the other 6 days, they're manic and absent from their family. And
yeah.
I'm doing air quotes now, but preparing to rest. And so I think something really has gone wrong there. And it's, again, like we've talked about before, where in our human nature, we put systems around ideas. And it's been happening since the dawn of man, where we put structure and rules around a concept, or around a, you know, I was going to say recommendation, but not a recommendation, around a precept of God. And so we have to structure it. We need to know exactly what this looks like.
Yep.
Because just as you referenced someone that you know resting from Friday till Saturday, like I looked through the history, and it's like you three stars in the sky. As soon as you see three stars, that's the beginning of that.
Oh, really?
The Sabbath being over, because like what constitutes Saturday evening, right? And so it's almost laughable, because you see that throughout Jewish history, and then you get to this pharisaical way of living where it's like we have to have a system and an order on every single action item, which has made that day of rest actually a day of pain in my mind, thinking about and being so aware of not breaking this rule, that seems exhausting.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you look at the Pharisees especially, and they didn't just do this with the Sabbath, they did it with everything, but they took something, and Jesus kind of hammers them on it in Matthew 12, in Luke 6, in Mark 2. It's all the same story, but he hammers them on it because they were so adamant about not breaking the Sabbath that Jesus essentially says, like, you've missed the entire point of it. Like, I remember when we preached through Matthew 12 and doing some research on some of the Sabbath rules that the Pharisees had, like, it was unbelievable. Like, you know, so far as, you know, a certain amount of distance you could walk that wouldn't constitute exercise, like you can walk this certain amount and that's not work because, you know, and, you know, if you were going to give food or clothing to someone, you would have them come to your house and then you would pass it out your door, because then you're technically not leaving your house to go and like exert yourself, and but you're still helping someone. And I was just kind of like, man, oh man, exactly what you said. It sounds exhausting. Trying to, like, wait, aren't we supposed to be resting? And I just feel like the people of that day were so on edge because, oh, am I accidentally breaking? Oh, man, I took 1,201 steps. Ah, oh, I broke the Sabbath. Like, so they're actually doing more work trying to keep the Sabbath than just enjoying the rest that God gives them.
And I get it. It's like human nature, because they would have been living in the awareness of, like, our ancestors swung the pendulum to the other side of, sorry, complete chaos and anarchy. And so they, like, swung to the opposite side. that was so structured and rigid that they lost sight of what it meant to truly rest and to have a Sabbath.
Yeah.
We as humans also just like control. So totally. We're given a set of rules and we can manipulate those so that they kind of fit our bill, or we can think that we're in control of those rules.
Yep.
We're going to, right? So, and like you were saying, Andrew, you can see that with the Pharisees. God gave them a day of rest, and that was one of the Ten Commandments to honor the Sabbath kind of thing. And what did they do? They went and were like, oh, that's good. Let's dial that up to 11.
Yeah.
That's one I like.
Yeah.
Like, that's one I can do.
Yeah.
And it's like they tried to wear it as a badge of
totally.
Honor, right? But it they missed the point entirely, like you were saying.
Yeah, and that's why Jesus hammers them in Matthew 23, saying, like, you're placing all these burdens on people. And he's saying, you go and you make a convert, but he's twice a son of hell as you are. I'm like, oh, man. And saying, like, you're doing all these things, but you're just placing burdens on people. You're not actually helping them know God. You're just like, oh, and here's the extra burden about keeping the Sabbath. And you're right. It's like they dial. I love that you said it's like, you know, God says give 10%. Oh, dial it in. All my spices too. It's like, settle down. God never said that. Like,
yeah.
10% of your income in the Old Testament. That's what he said. And we'll talk about tithing another podcast. I think that'd be good. But you're right. They just kind of cranked it up. And to make sure, like, we're showing how much we love God by, look how good we can keep the rules. And it's like, well, those aren't even the rules. Those are extra rules that you made. So I might just read one of these interactions, because Jesus, he was called a lawbreaker by the Pharisees. They thought, like, you are breaking the law, which I love, because he wasn't. He fulfilled all the actual commandments, but he broke all of their traditional stuff.
Self-implemented.
Yeah, right. All the extra rules that they implemented.
To a degree, though, like, because with, just as a prelude to what you're about to read, I think of Jesus being a good Jewish boy growing up, following.
I want to pray to baby Jesus. That's what I think. Yeah. Sorry.
Second place is first. But, you know, when you read the scripture, I often read thinking, like, okay, like, Jesus did this, and now he's actually giving a new way,
because
he's saying, all right, it's almost like he's saying, like, see what we did here? It's so crazy. Here's how it should be.
Yeah. So Matthew 12, it says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. So right away before this is Matthew 12, starting verse 1. But right away, that wasn't illegal. We got to understand, like, the farmers actually were commanded in the law to leave the edges of their fields unharvested for exactly this reason. People who were poor, people who didn't have food, they could come and actually eat from the edge, right? The gleanings or whatever.
Are you saying Jesus and the disciples could have been poor?
No. If Jesus, which prosperity guy said that? If I guarantee, if Jesus lived today, he wouldn't be flying commercial. It's like, okay, settle down. Anyways, yes, they were poor. But so they were plugging heads. And it says, verse 2, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. So they are saying, look, they're exerting themselves. They're plucking heads of grain. That's breaking the Sabbath. So he said to them, have you not read that David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor of those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And so Jesus gives two knockout punch examples. And when David was fleeing, and he went in and he ate, like, they had this kind of ceremonial bread of the presence that was in the holy place. And the priests were allowed to eat of it. And David ate that. And he didn't get struck down. And Jesus says, look, he ate what was not lawful for him to eat because he was hungry. And he basically says, and you priests in the temple, you're breaking the Sabbath every Sabbath because you're doing all your priestly duties. So, I just love it. And then he says that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So it's almost like Jesus is trying to, I don't know, recorrect recorrect? No, correct their thinking on the Sabbath. And like everything else, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm actually the fulfillment. Like, I'm the Lord of this thing that you guys keep. Like, that's with everything in the Old Testament, with the sacrifices, with the temple. Jesus comes and he says, like, I'm actually the fulfillment of all of that. So I think Jesus would say, and he does, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Like, it's actually about me. It's not about your rules. And then I find it interesting in John 5, it says that that was one of the reasons that they persecuted him and wanted to kill him, because of the Sabbath. Like Matthew 5:16, this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. And then 18 says, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. So one of the reasons that they wanted to kill Jesus is because he broke the Sabbath in their minds. Which is really interesting. Like, that helps us understand how strictly they thought about it. Like, here's this guy, we got to kill him because mm-hmm. he's breaking our Sabbath rules.
That's essentially why Christ was crucified in their eyes, is because it was 3 years of his introduction on the scene of being a teacher, just conflicting with every one of these standards that they had created and were thinking they were upholding in the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
So I'll throw it out then, because, I mean, Jesus, and we won't read all those instances, but, I mean, there's Luke 13 is a really good example where Jesus, you mentioned it, Cam, like, a lot of times Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and that's what they really got ticked off about. And even in Luke 13, the guy I'm just going to flip there, because it's either the synagogue or the temple. I think it's the synagogue.
13:16, I think.
Yeah, where he says, like, come back later, basically. Like, yeah. don't be healed today.
The woman was, like, possessed for 18 years, and they yeah. said she shouldn't have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day.
Yes. Yep. And, yeah, the ruler of the synagogue, there, he's indignant. And he says, there's 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed. Like, man, oh, man, can you imagine? But that was their thinking. Like, can you imagine? Like, someone shows up on church on Sunday. I know, let's just, this for sake of the argument. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're healed. And can you imagine, like, the pastor being, like, ticked off? That should not be happening on Sunday. That's do right. that on Monday. But that's what... that's what this guy says. Like, come back another day. Don't be healed today.
Which is so ironic, because they're, like you said, performing their priestly duties, working, just like any pastor at any church.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, folks, it is a work day.
Yep.
That is a profession, in a sense.
Yeah, totally.
A career to be a preacher of the gospel, which is a paid function.
Yep. It's true. So I'm going to bring it... to us now. So Jesus comes and he completely goes against what their cultural understanding was, or even their extra rules. He heals on the Sabbath. He picks grain. His disciples pick grain on the Sabbath. Jesus says, like, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Like, and in another, I think it's in the Mark 2 one, Jesus says that they've completely, he says, don't you know that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? So he's kind of saying, the Sabbath was actually a gift to you, and you've kind of switched it around where you are stressing out about keeping the Sabbath. And so it's like you're working for the Sabbath, not this gift to you. So I think for us today, though, the debate would be, are Christians... like, should Christians keep the Sabbath? And what I mean by that, and then maybe we'll get into it, like, is there one day a week where we should say, like, no work allowed, we just kind of rest? Or what does that look like in the life of a follower of Jesus? I'm going to ask Corlin first. Or even in your own life, how have you, do you have a Sabbath day that you kind of...
Usually Aaron and I try and make sure that Sunday is a relatively relaxed day. Short answer, should Christians now keep the Sabbath? I would say yes, but I don't say that as a religious standpoint. I say that simply as God has created it for us, setting a healthy example of what it's like to live, right? Like, he's given us a day where we can rest, so we should. I know in North American culture, you know, go, 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 go is basically all we hear, right? Like, hey, when are you going to buy that new house? Hey, are you guys still planning on buying that truck? Hey, are you guys like, and to do those things, we have to keep working. Does it matter which day it is? I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah, what if I worked like shift work, 3 weeks on, 1 week off? Like,
I think even if you're working shift work, there's opportunity to make sure that one day in the week you're spending extra time with God. And this is not to like say that these are specific things you have to do, but you've got lunch breaks, coffee breaks, different things like that, right? Like you have time that you can set aside to make sure that you're resting, make sure that you're focusing on God, because I think that was the intent. My understanding anyways, that was the intent of Sabbath, is to rest. And when we don't have the rest of life bombarding us with everything and we can actually rest and sit and spend time with God, I think that's the purpose of the Sabbath. So does it matter if it's on Sunday specifically? No. Does it matter if you work shift work? I would say not, right? Like as long as you're taking time to actually slow down and rest, I think that then you're hitting the mark, I would say.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Cam?
Rest is something I just actually wrote a paper on how I don't do rest very well right now. I'm in a season of life where, you know, we have a busy home, busy. I shouldn't say I hate.
Can't you say like, honey, I'm going to go take a nap. Good luck with the kids.
Yeah. And I hate using the word busy. It's a very full life, like almost everybody. But also, I added in school, and actually I've been doing school alongside work since 2012, but in the last year and a half, working on a theology graduate degree. And so that, for anyone who's been in post-secondary, consumes so much time. And so I had to talk to my wife about, like, this is going to be like 2 hours every night, much of weekends, and it's work. But there's people out there who would find it incredibly restful to peruse through a textbook all afternoon on a Saturday or Sunday. So it's interesting, what is rest? Because sometimes there's elements of my job that I find actually quite restful, you know, and reading policy. Like I enjoy that. It's actually, I know it's.
What a nerd.
But what.
Honey, I'm going to go lie in the hammock and read this policy textbook.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. But the actual book that this paper was based off was called The Sabbath as Resistance. And how does rest today actually constitute rest? And one of the biggest pieces from that text that stood out to me is, does your rest cause unrest for someone else? And it's a very kind of Western kind of my life is most important on a kind of statue type idolizing idea of ourselves, because I was completely convicted of, like, yeah, sometimes I'll just sit around, maybe I'll order something off Amazon. And there was actually a reference to that, like, you know, on your rest where you're spending time with God and you're catching up on things, are you causing several minimum wage workers to run around appeasing your rest on that day? And it was super convicting, like, because the parallel to scripture was like, this preparation is supposed to be done before your day of rest. And I think there is something very important about that, because even around the collecting of wood, it was the idea, and that was exaggerated and done wrong, but it was essentially prepare for that day so that you don't actually have to collect wood for your fire, go to the grocery store. So I think that we should find the tension between our rest and, you know, if we're given this model of from God, we can't just throw the model away and say, oh, rest is whatever I make it. It could be, but then why the model? Why an example of a day? I'm not sure. Why not just, you know, God saying it's important to rest. And I think Jesus did that a little bit, but yeah, does our rest cause unrest? Does my setting time aside cause my wife to do more work? Cause my mother-in-law who lives with us to do the cleaning, like for me to go spend time alone with God. So I really have to juggle that. And life is so full that you have to actually ask yourself, like, what does that look like? But yeah, this online shopping one was the biggest one for me. And, or even just running to the grocery store, cause, oh, it's restful and I'll go grab groceries. But like, you have all these people who are busy being unable to rest just to appease those who get the privilege of rest. It was interesting.
Yeah. I would also say that to not get too caught up in that, because if you're consistently worried that your one day of rest is going to get in the way of someone else's, then you'll never rest, truly, right? Like, and I don't say that to be like, so now on your day of rest, make sure you go and buy this, this, this.
Yeah. Like,
I would agree with you, like, refrain from those things. But
yeah,
if your main concern is that other people are resting on your day of rest, yes, there is, I think, kind of a cool element of that, that you're making sure that other people are resting as well. But I think that...
Well, you're not making sure they're resting. You're just making sure you're not contributing to their unrest. Like, to be a part of the problem, in a sense. And I think it's this pushback. Like, how do we rest today? I think we jump out of the race, which you mentioned, the houses, the truck, like the consumption culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we just jump out for a bit and say, like, I need to, like, stop. I need to hit reset. Because we just... It absorbs, and it, the rest, like, there's a bad church for the reference, but not so many people are farmers nowadays, where, you know, to vein for our income was so much harder in scripture. But today it's like, jump out of the race for a half day, you know, like, quit being consumed by your finances and spending and consuming and, you know, I don't know. It's tough. What does rest look like for today?
Yeah, where I kind of land, I think there's like...
Sorry to totally cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I had to cut in and break this fight up. But I think I land in kind of like a two answers to this question, because I think in one very real sense, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. Jesus is my Sabbath. And that's such a like... pastoral thing to say, but I really do believe that, because you think about people who lived under the law, it was hell, because they were given this, the law was never meant to be like you could actually fulfill it. It was to point out that you actually can't live like this. And so the rest in there, I think there's something to it, even to just rest from your striving for a day, just to be prepared, and then you don't have to do anything, just like rest. And then Jesus comes, and I even think in Matthew 11, it's interesting, he says, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I think there is a spiritual aspect of Sabbath where every day we have spiritual rest in Jesus, because he's done it for us. So we don't have to, we're not striving every day to earn our salvation. So I think there's a spiritual aspect of Sabbath where Jesus comes and he is our Sabbath, that we can rest now because he's done it. And yet, so that's my first answer. And yet, secondly, I think exactly what you guys have said. Sabbath is a pushback to our culture, totally, where you're like, I'm actually going to take a day, for me, I'm not religious about, is it a day, is it a certain day, because like Cam said, I work Sundays. Sundays is a work day for me.
And so
to just say like, I'm just going to relax for a day, no, but... On Fridays or Saturdays when I'm with my kids and we're playing together, and even when we're doing chores around the house together, there is a restful, I don't know, part of it, which sounds like, really? That doesn't sound restful, but it is, right? Because you're either shutting off your phone or you're just kind of disconnecting a little bit. And I think, too, the point of Sabbath is not just... you know, take it easy physically. It's a spiritual, like, okay, have you spent time with your kids in a little devotional? Have you spent time praying as you're gardening? Or whatever it is, right? It's meant to be a spiritual, I don't want to say reset, but...
Like check-in almost. Like.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, you've been going hard for 6 days, or whatever it is, right? If you work shift work, you've been going hard for 14 days. Now you're going to actually, like, physically, spiritually, emotionally... You're just going to rest. And I think for your own spiritual well-being and your own physical well-being, like, rest is so important. But I think too, the motivation is where it, and that's, I've been noticing more and more following Jesus is largely about your motivation, not about your, how well you obey. Because your motivation can be so wrong and you could obey perfectly. That's what the Pharisees did. They obeyed perfectly, quote, you know, air quotes, but their motivation was terrible. And Jesus says, you actually don't love God. So I think I could obey the Sabbath perfectly and my motivation is totally wrong. I'm not actually resting. So I'll give you an example. I had a conversation with one guy about this and he was adamant, like Sabbath is Sunday. And I kind of cheeky was like, well, you're already wrong. Sabbath is Saturday technically. But he said, I do not do any physical work on Sunday. I rest the entire day. So I gave him a scenario. I'm like, what if you're like his father-in-law was a farmer? What if your father-in-law calls you and is like, hey, I'm in a real jam. Like my tractor's stuck in the mud. Can you drive out and help me get it out? And he said, I would say, nope, sorry. I can help you Monday, but I can't drive out today. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm like, I think you maybe have missed like the point of Sabbath, right? Jesus says the Sabbath was made for you. Not you for the Sabbath. Like, don't religiously freak out and worry that you're breaking the Sabbath. It's actually meant to be a gift. So that's where I kind of land. Like, my Sabbath day, quote, changes all the time because there's certain days where there's church stuff happening on Fridays, which is usually my day off.
There's a conflict there, though. there's a conflict in the sense if we believe that Jesus is rest and the fulfillment of Sabbath, that means we can't actually take a point of time or a measure of time to say that's when we're going to connect with Jesus in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Then it actually,
yeah, because every day should be that.
Or we have to be consciously aware at first until it becomes practiced pattern. Like anything, any change begins systematically, and the idea is that it becomes organic, but we would have to be then thinking about, you know, Jesus being rest. If Jesus is Sabbath, then we have to blend that and marry that to the other attributes to which he is and then calls us to live. And then we'd have to live Sabbath, because like I said, we can't have choosing 4 hours on a Friday afternoon because it's your day off and then be manic and absent from your family and overburdened for the other days, and then call yourself, oh, I'm living through Jesus' rest. Well, you're not. So we actually have to, I think, then be aware, you know, moment by moment, day by day, of how I'm not becoming unrest, or I'm not living, like, are we living panicked? Are we living overstressed? Mm-hmm. Or are we stuck in a pattern of anxiety over things that we should surrender? That's actually an interesting thought, because I don't think then we can have a set day and then at the same time say Jesus is the fulfillment of Sabbath.
Yeah, so I think too, like, as a Christian, you can be, you know, like you said, have a full life and busy, mm-hmm. and you can work and you can have your kids and you can do that. But I do think that you can, and it sounds so cheesy to be like, every day is Sabbath. But I think if you can rightly understand that I'm not striving to earn salvation, I have moments throughout the day when I am communing with Jesus, which we're called to do, right? Paul says that all the time. Like, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to be communing with Jesus. So I think you're right. If it's like I was going to use a phrase that I'm not going to use, but if I am like going full steam 6 days, no even thinking about Jesus, but whew, I made it to Sabbath and now I connect with Jesus, I think you've missed the point of Sabbath even in that. Yeah. And yet, I don't know, there's this balance where are there seasons where that is my reality sometimes and it's not good, but there's also seasons where it's kind of like, day in and day out, I'm communing with Jesus. I have time in the morning maybe before I start work and kids and stuff like that, or time in the evening with my wife where we're praying together, and you're having all these kind of sweet times of Sabbath times, if you want to call it that. I don't know. Maybe there is this this balance based on what season you're in.
Yeah, I don't know. But would you guys say that there's an element of personal conviction as to when you take the Sabbath and or how?
Yes, because yeah. Colossians 2 and Romans 14 say that, basically. Yeah. And specifically around days, right? I was going to get to that. You jumped to it. But in Colossians 2, Paul says, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ," which is interesting. But also Romans, Paul basically says, this is not a hill to die on, which I love. Paul, I mean, he says in Romans 14, "One person esteems one day is better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God." So basically Paul's saying, hey, if you want to think that one day is better than the others, go for it. And if you think all days are the same,
go for it.
I love that he says you should be fully convinced in your own mind that, like, this is not a hill to die on, basically, Paul says. Like, so that guy that I mentioned who's like, nope, Sunday, if we believe Romans and Colossians, it should be like, okay, if you wanna not do any kind of work on Sunday, it's not a salvation issue. Okay, I may think you're wrong, but if he's convinced in his mind, okay, right? And if people look at my life and they go, wait, you don't have a set, okay.
Yeah. Because I think of the creation story as being that we're given, like, in the sense of rest, we're given this model. God didn't need rest, like we've said.
Yeah.
But then the law is what, you know, kind of attempted. And I say it, you know, we're not getting into a how was the Old Testament written, but it came from that. So, yeah, for us to, or like for Paul to take that model and say, okay, rest is important. How it looks like for your life is going to differ far and vastly between others. And if someone put a spotlight on his life, I'm sure he skipped some Sabbath. just from what I read, like, you know, sitting in the bottom of a ship trying not to die. How restful was that, Paul?
Is he shipwrecked? Well, it's the Sabbath. You're not allowed to try and swim to shore.
Good luck swimming. You only get 1,000 strokes.
Yeah, right? Oh, I'm so close. Oh! But I mean, there's a few things. Even food sacrificed to idols, which is not a thing in our day and age. But Paul says, some of you think that you shouldn't eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. And some of you think, hey, just pray over it and it's good to go. And he says, okay, do what you want to do. Like, there's certain things in following Jesus that I love, that it's kind of left up to your personal convictions, right? If you feel super strongly about that, go for it. I know even it's not so clear cut in scripture, but drinking alcohol is one for Christians where it's kind of like some people are like, no, that is, you should not, you should be different than the world. You shouldn't drink alcohol. Okay. I'm not going to say, like, you're a Pharisee. No, if you want to do that, great. But Jesus drank wine. His disciples drank wine. Jesus made wine. Party man. And for some Christians, it's not an issue. And they say, I can enjoy that, and it's a good gift from God. And that's one of those issues where I think Christians can go, okay, like, I'm not going to judge you because you have wine or not, right? I'm not going to judge you because you eat meat sacrificed to idols, which Stanley Troyer, I hope he doesn't sacrifice his meat to idols before we buy it. Shout out to Stan's custom, what is his business?
Meat cutting.
There you go. So non-sacrifice to idols meat, guaranteed. Right. There you go.
So I think what Paul, and it's obvious what he was getting at, is like he didn't, you know, he used this structure of rest that was familiar and said it's going to look different, but he didn't deviate from what that structure of rest should look like. So for today, I think that our rest is different.
Yep.
Unless you are a farmer, like,
yeah,
you got to wake up and feed your animals.
Yeah.
Like, sending your kid to do isn't a rest for you. Like, so you have to navigate what that looks like.
Yeah.
And I think there was even a scripture reference where they pre-fed or gave extra on the day before. But what does rest look like today, and how do we push back on this overwhelming, this almost unbearing weight of preparation and consumption? And
because, do you think, and that's, I don't know how long this is, but whatever, we'll keep going. Because do you think there's an element of the Sabbath where it's kind of like a trust issue almost? Being like, I can actually rest because I'm not God. And I can actually trust that God is going to take care of me. I think in our day and age, that's huge. Like, I have an opportunity to go and make an extra $2,000 today. Well, you know what? I don't need to do that because I can trust that God will actually provide for me. And so I can actually, whatever, take a day off, or I can actually push back against some of the...
Then there's the opposite of that. If someone's in desperate need of $2,000 and they're like, God provide, and he gives that opportunity.
Well, that's
like,
the Sabbath.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
God, why didn't you answer my prayer? He's like, you dummy, I've just gave you a job.
So for some, yes.
Sure.
But yep. For some, I would say also, like, you know, check if God's answering one of your prayers, then.
That's a good one.
Oh, man. Quick story. There was an individual who I know became unemployed. He was actually terminated from his position because for the longest time he left his job on Sunday to run down to go to church. Church was only a couple doors away on the street in Vancouver. And he got away with it for a little while. He was part of the maintenance crew, so he was able to, like, no one's seen so-and-so for a couple hours. And he was perplexed that his employer...
would be mad at that.
And his employer was a Christian employer. And he was perplexed that he actually got terminated. And they're like, you agreed to work on Sunday, you know?
Yep.
We didn't have the conversation of what you would do with a church service, but, you know, that could be why they exist on Wednesdays somewhere, some places. And it was really interesting. I remember just seeing that from afar and being like, wow, yeah, I never thought about that. But that person, I don't know, they... missed the mark somewhere along the way, and it ended up getting terminated, rightfully so. And I even felt, yep, shouldn't have left work.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys think, and I'm going to try and construct this thought as I go, because, like, it's been kind of, you know, building as we've been talking. So if I start spewing heresy, stop me where I stand.
We should have a heresy button, like,
we should.
That was easy.
Yeah.
That was easy.
But do you think that... So in the creation account, we see God existing. God creates the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rests. Seven is a really common number in the Bible. Do you think that there's at all a parallel between how now that Christ has come and created new life by what he did on the cross, there's a period of time, I'm not saying that 6 days or anything has a specific hold on that, but there's a period of time where there's work being done before Christ returns and everything is made complete and we'll be able to rest and see that it is good. Do you think there's a parallel there? Or am
Sabbath
I
Sabbath is retirement.
Yeah. Or am I pulling at strings, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe. You could say that right now we're in this age where Jesus hasn't returned yet, so we're working to make disciples. And then when Jesus returns, the work's done, and we rest for all eternity. Yeah, I mean, you could. I think you could make that argument. Because in eternity... But even that, because I think we sometimes have a wrong view of eternity. Like, Adam worked before the fall. Mm-hmm. He was put in the garden to work and to keep it and to have dominion over it. I think eternity is not going to be us. I think we will be working, but it will be without the curse of sin.
Yes.
And so our work won't, like when God said to Adam, well, now there's thorns, now there's thistles, now by the sweat of your brow, you're going to work. So a lot of work is, I don't want to say meaningless, but a lot of work is just frustrating because of sin. Mm-hmm. So I think in eternity, when we're in the new heavens and the new earth, we'll have work.
Isaiah says we will. We will plant our vineyards, but then we will get to eat from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Our descendants will get to eat from them.
Yeah. So think about that. Yeah. Like doing farming with no weeds, no thorns, no thistles, because that was a product of the curse. Like, it will actually be, and I even talked to someone about that. Like, so much of our work is frustrating to a certain degree. because, I mean, and Ecclesiastes talks about that. Solomon says, like, everything is meaningless. And I'm like, settle down. He was having a little hissy fit. But he said, everything's meaningless. And the idea, and I gave this example once when we did a discipleship class about work. I mean, you mow your lawn, you work, and then a week later, you have to do it again. And there is a certain kind of repetition that's like, that can be frustrating. You do things and then it breaks again and you have to fix it again and you do it and it breaks and you have to fix it. And there's this cycle.
So I'll only mow my lawn once.
Yeah, it happened one time.
But what comes with
I
that,
knew you were going to say that.
What comes with that cycle is a sense and almost a gratification, a sense of accomplishment, a sure. sense of value and purpose.
And then when I see weeds pop in my yard, I'm like, Adam. Right? But you'll have a solid gold lawnmower. That's the difference in eternity. You can quote me on that. yeah, that was easy. So I think there is maybe an element of that where we're living in this time where we are working, but much of our work can feel frustrating. I think in eternity we will work and the curse of sin will be gone. And there won't be death, there won't be sin, there won't be disease. I don't even think there will be tiredness in the same way, like, mm-hmm. because our bodies will be perfect resurrection bodies. So we won't be like, I'm so sore the next day. No, I think that'll be gone. So there will be work, but it will be, oh, ready for this? It'll be a continual Sabbath work.
Sorry, that's so dumb.
It was good
try. Yeah, it was a good try. Swing and a miss. Thanks for coming up to the plate. But, yeah, anyways, this is probably over an hour. Don't you have to go to work, Cortland?
I do, right soon.
Okay, so we should maybe wrap this up. But, I don't know, last thoughts about any of this? Hopefully it's been a little bit clear as mud.
Yeah, live rest. Live rest even when you're working, when your day is full. Find a way to find fulfillment in, like Corlin referenced, lunch breaks, coffee breaks. If the reality of some of our lives is we need to keep a momentum to support and to fulfill our requirements and our responsibilities. It's good to have responsibilities. It's good to have purpose and to have expectations of you, but find rest in that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Or you will burn out and you will not be productive.
Yep.
Your relationships with your family and yourself will become damaged, and ultimately your relationship with Jesus will become damaged.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. God modeled rest for a reason.
Yeah.
Rest well.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, oh man, that was so
mattress
good.
Commercial.
Yeah. This is, today's episode is brought to you by Sleep Country Canada. Rest well. Anyways, hopefully, that's been helpful. Maybe answer some questions that you've had in your own mind about Sabbath. And like we always say, thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.